Well, if the Newfoundland and Labrador Teaching Association was tasked with giving a grade to the latest plan to go back to school in September from the English School District, yeah, that's right. They're giving it a failing grade. Dean Ingram is the president of the Teachers Association, and he joins me live by phone right now. Good morning, Mr. Ingram.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for taking time. So how safe do you feel about the province's school children? You know, will they, when they return to school in just a few weeks' time?
Well, it goes with saying there are concerns, but I want to stress the return to school for students is critically important. Scenario one, full return to school, that certainly the association feels that's needed for a number of reasons. But that being said, that return to school, which is needed by our students, there's no disputing that. It's needed by our teachers. It's needed for our parents in so many facets. We need to ensure that that return is a safe one. And for those that say, well, we don't have anything to worry about, I would simply suggest look around the globe. We see the crown jewel of COVID response globally, internationally, was New Zealand. We see reports now that they've had that relapse, and they, some of those are related to their schools. So public health, Minister Hagee, Dr. Fitzgerald have done a great job in getting us to that this juncture where we're to. It's critically important that we stay there. Which is why, for us, when we see the inconsistency between the safety measures that are put in place for all manners of public venues, for our place of worship, for our daycares, for private businesses, this is something that we can't, or certainly for me, and based on the emails that I've been receiving, based on the response to our petition, which we've launched, based on all those things, the population of this province have similar concerns about, we all want that return to school. Everyone does, or I'd like to hope that everyone does, but it has to be done in a manner that maintains and ensures not only that we've crushed the curve, we've flattened the curve, we have to ensure that we stay there.
And you're giving it a failing grade, so where are they getting it wrong?
I think, first of all, the most glaring thing is we see the inconsistency between the safety measures that are needed based on public health directives for our public institutions, our public venues. Mandatory mask wearing is going to happen as of August 24th, but we see a different discrepancy in our province's schools. There are a number of things that could have been done with sufficient foresight and planning, and right now, these are the concerns that we have.
What do you think the biggest challenge is in terms of making this plan work?
One of the things we've been advocating for a number of years is a review of the teacher allocation model referencing class sizes. We know that the people, space, time, and place mentor, which we've been hearing since March, and I certainly agree with, are important, would have been, had that process been undertaken, we would have been better prepared to deal with smaller class size numbers. These are things there. I think we need to examine the administrator allocations. School administrators are going to be tasked with implementing any measures to return to school plan. We have concerns about school counselor allocations. We know that children will be returning to school as they need to, but accompanying them when they return will be anxiety and stress and mental health concerns that they have as well.
And they won't be able to have their support of their parents or family member or guardian to take them in.
So many things, all these things there, which is why, again, we've been long advocating that a revisitation of the school counselor allocations is critically important. It was critically important pre-COVID. Is certainly equally more important post-COVID. We know that our students, they've been out for the past 6 months. Smaller class sizes would have certainly allowed teachers to provide the individual attention that we need to actually bridge the gap from the gaps in learning that may very well be there that have manifest itself since March. Smaller class sizes would have provided a better avenue for students to be brought back to where they need to be to get them where they need to be going forward.
And we also heard that from Dave Callahan, former private bus owner and operator. But Mr. Ingram, when it comes to these concerns, how concerned are you about substitute teachers that will likely have to move from one school to another?
There are a number of concerns. These are things we're certainly still engaged in discussion with. The issue surrounding our substitute teachers is not a new one. We've certainly been raising that for a while as well, dating back to some of the economic hardship. But certainly we've had a concern with substitute teachers in this province for a while. There are parts of this province that had trouble accessing substitute teachers before COVID. With the protocols that will be in place for screening measures, Now, tangentially, we are suggesting that enhanced access to testing and results will be made is something that needs to be priority to ensure that if someone is diagnosed two of the symptoms, to get that cleared up as soon as possible. Instead of having the 14-day isolation, it could be limited to much less than that. That would be prudent. But there are substitute teachers that if people have to isolate and teachers aren't available as a result of the screening procedures, our schools could find themselves shut down not because of COVID-related situations, but because of an inability to access required teachers, substitute teachers, to ensure that students have someone in front of them. And I don't think that's anything any of us can get behind.
And there's so many balls in the air, it's difficult to know where to go to catch one. And, you know, hopefully that this plan is as flexible and fluid as the Director for Education of the district says, Tony Stack.
Well, Mr. Stack did reference that is a evolving plan, one that will develop as new information and situation there. And I'm hopeful that what we will see is an infusion of because the district, CSFP, NLESD, can only implement plans that are in line with the regulation and guidelines from public health, and at the same time, within the resource envelope that the school districts have to operate. The busing one is an obvious one.
Absolutely.
Right now, Mr. Stack, there are concerns about busing. With sufficient foresight and planning, could the district have avoided this problem? Because right now, again, I'm led to believe that some of our private bus contractors have busing available. But in order for the district to engage with those private contractors, they need the resources provided to them from government. These are the limitations there, which is why our point. But again, for us, we strongly feel that students should be just as safe in our schools in terms of safety protocols that are put in place that they would be in other public venues, such as the daycare centers, such as a place of worship, such as our province's private businesses. And one thing there is that if we don't get this right, and we do have the research and the relapse, and we're not set up to actually sustain that surge, schools may have to move to scenario two, to scenario three.
Dean Ingram,
if that happens, the business community are going to be the first ones to feel that pinch.
Yeah, there's a trickle-down effect all through this, but unfortunately we are getting short on time now. Dean Ingram, I thank you so much. As president of the Teachers Association here in the province, your opinion is definitely a valuable perspective for us.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me on.